I'm John Batchelor, the New World Report, with my colleagues Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Alejandro Pena Esclusa, Venezuelan writer and geostrategist. Both of the gentlemen are not in their respective countries for reasons to do with, well, plans for the future. However, I attend to the violence in Rio especially because there, Ernesto, there was a sad, grotesque picture of a line of body bags. Well, they weren't even body bags. They were looked to be men covered quickly by shower curtains or something equally matter of fact. And there was a young woman bending over the corpse of one man, clearly brokenhearted. We could guess husband or brother. This is a mass murder or mass death in Rio de Janeiro, said to be drug fighting. What is it? What happened? Why? Why did they do this all of a sudden? Because it looks grotesque.
Yes, John, maybe here in a similar manner to what has been reported about the Venezuelan opposition and that Alejandro just debunked, I think there's misreporting. This was long overdue police action against organized crime gangs in Rio. A recent study had shown that around 25% of the Brazilian population lives in regions already dominated by organized crime. And many of those regions are in the big cities, Rio and São Paulo. Rio is particularly plagued by organized crime. Most of the territory of the city is dominated by one of three different gangs. By the way, the main one is called the Red Commando, which has originated from the union of socialist guerrillas and, let's say, common crime back in the 70s. So the governor of Rio ordered the largest police operation in history in Rio. And around 110, let's say, people from working for or fighting for the criminal gangs have come down, and for policemen. So, okay, any loss of life is a tragedy, but this really means the first opportunity for people to get rid of this nightmare, which is organized crime. And it's mainly poor people who live in the poor areas who suffer under organized crime, because those people are harassed and live in constant fear of the small drug lords that control their neighborhoods. So much so that a poll carried after the operation showed that between 70% and 80% of people in Rio approved of the operation, and those figures were higher in the areas, in the poorer areas, the areas more affected by the control of the gangs, the favelas, as we call it. So, people who live in those regions dominated by crime wanted that sort of action. They want, actually, unfortunately, they want more of that. So Lula and his government, they have always identified with a line of thought that crime is originated by poverty. So you should treat, let's say, the criminals as victims. And actually, Lula had a week before had declared that drug traffickers are victims of people who use drugs, literally. So and the initial reaction was to strongly criticize the action by the governor of Rio, but the polls are so much in favor of the action that Lula is backing down, and now he wants to work through Congress towards a new legislation that would integrate the state police with the federal police in a different way. Although many people think that this would give too much control to the federal government on police, because basically police belongs to the states. But I think this is part of the same situation that we're seeing in Venezuela. That's the war against organized crime. Many other governors in Brazil have united with the governor of Rio. They want more of those actions. And curiously, the governor of Rio had a few months before, over the head, let's say, of the federal government, contacted U.S. authorities to ask them to declare Comando Vermelho, the Red Commando, as a terrorist organization, because this would help the U.S., helping Rio get rid of this. So it's not a local phenomenon. It's a part of the same hemispheric phenomenon of the fight against organized crime. Yes.
Alejandro, the possibility exists that Maduro will leave the country if induced. Do you imagine that as a possibility? Will he leave voluntarily if he's given a reward wherever he goes?
Well, actually, what I think about this the deployment of the flotilla in front of the Venezuelan coast is more a credible threat than any other thing. Maybe it will not be necessary to deploy any military action. This deployment already is changing the situation inside of Venezuela, John. I have inside information from my friends in my country, Venezuela, that already many military are trying to bargain a deal with the United States, handing over Maduro or convincing Maduro to go and obtain some sort of benefits for doing that. So this presence in the Caribbean, it's already doing its job. I don't think an invasion will be necessary. And also I say this because more than 70% of the military in Venezuela are not for Maduro. Why do I say it with this? Why I'm so sure when I say this? Because in the elections last year, the 20th of July, the garrisons, the military, voted exactly like the civilians, exactly like the people in the cities, in the suburbs, in everywhere, in the rural areas. 70% and more of the population.
30 seconds, Alejandro, 30 seconds. Go ahead.
So the percentage of military against Maduro is the same as his civilians. There's no way that Maduro can wage a war. He can have psychological warfare, but not real war. So we have to be, let's say, calm about what is happening. And I think, like Trump said, Maduro has his days counted.
Alejandro Pena Escusa, Ernesto Araujo, New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.